This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Cedarside. Cedarside's original 100% organic insect spray kills bed bugs, mosquitoes, fleas, ticks, mites, scorpions, roaches, and more, but is completely safe for your home, pets, and family. Go to cedarside.com, use coupon code Hoffman at checkout for free shipping, or call 800-842-1464 and mention you heard it here.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. It's a beautiful summer weekend where I am, and I hope that you're enjoying your weekend. We're going to do something healthy for you because, well, we got lots of important health stories to share with you. You know, many of you ask, how can I get a better understanding of the world of health? Is there a course I can take? Is there a university program that offers comprehensive education in the field of natural and alternative health? And yes, there are. They abound. But if you listen faithfully to this program and to our additional podcasts at drhoffman.com, you will get a comprehensive view of the world of medicine and the world of natural health. Among the stories that we're going to cover today, we're going to talk about the true origins of the phenomenon of the dad bod. You know, men, as they start to have kids, they tend to get a little puffy around the midsection. Their muscle definition declines, and, well, maybe there's a hormonal reason for that. We'll look at that story a little later. Also, vaping is taking the country by storm. Lots of kids, young people, are vaping instead of smoking ordinary conventional cigarettes, but there may be some hazards to vaping. We'll cover those in just a moment. Also, a major UK medical journal is calling for an independent review of the hazards of cholesterol-lowering drugs, specifically statins. We'll talk about that momentarily. 888-302-3684 gets you right into the doctor's office. You can pose your questions, 888-302-3684. But before we take your questions, here's a big story that is broken. It's a story that has been broken by a journalist who I really admire. I admire her courage because she has been out in front of many important national stories, including the Benghazi story. She's done some outstanding investigative reporting about Benghazi and the ensuing governmental cover-up. She's Cheryl Atkinson, and she eventually got disillusioned and, well, to some extent, she got pushed out, but she also left of her own volition. She was a investigative reporter at CBS, and CBS found her stories a little bit too spicy for their taste. Namely, some of the stories that she did on the vaccine autism controversy. Now, it's been said that there is no hazard associated with vaccines. Time and time again, the authorities have reassured us that there's no problem here, just move along. The studies confirm that there's absolutely no correlation between mercury in vaccines, any kind of problem, or vaccines themselves, and the risk of developmental disorders. But Cheryl Atkinson has been really the vanguard of investigative reporting about this. Is a very, very touchy subject. It's an unpopular subject for a journalist because then they get stigmatized as being anti-vaxxers, getting in the way of progress, getting in the way of science, and undermining public confidence in our current vaccine program. And I will tell you personally, I find it's very tough reporting on this because I do not want to give the impression that I am against vaccination, that I think that we should go unvaccinated, because I think vaccines have been one of the most important health developments in the history of medicine, that we have now vanquished some of the killer diseases that used to kill millions. But still, on the other hand, It's not an either-or thing. We have to raise important questions about the potential for vaccines to cause health problems. And indeed, many parents are convinced that there's a relationship between the vaccinations that their kids received and their regression in terms of behavior towards autistic spectrum disorder. And, they're labeled nuts, they're labeled fanatics. This story hasn't gotten a lot of play, and I think it deserves attention here on Intelligent Medicine. There was congressional testimony last week from Representative Bill Posey. He's a Republican in Florida, and he has uncovered a very, very egregious cover-up by the Centers for Disease Control about a potential connection between vaccines and a higher risk of autism, specifically in African-American boys. This story is covered extensively by Cheryl Atkinson. You can look it up on her website. I think she's going to go very far, because she's no longer affiliated with a major network, but she's going to make a splash on the journalistic scene as an independent journalist who's no longer restrained by network executives who tell her to deep six stories that are uncomfortable. This story is about CDC senior scientist Dr. William Thompson, who has turned whistleblower. And he testified in Congress at the behest of Congressman Bill Posey of Florida about a major cover-up where in 2002, researchers had uncovered evidence that there was a somewhat higher risk of autism in African-American males who received the MMR vaccine before age 36 months. And this was a very, very disturbing and uncomfortable finding. And under pressure from the powers that be, the four co-authors, along with Dr. William Thompson, all met secretly and brought a big garbage can into the meeting room. This is testimony under oath by Dr. William Thompson, who's turned whistleblower, and reviewed and went through all the hard copy documents that Dr. Thompson said they thought they should discard. Then they put them into a huge garbage can and disposed of them. Now, Dr. Thompson felt uneasy about this. He says, because I assumed it was illegal and it would violate both Freedom of Information Act and Department of Justice requests, I kept hard copies of all documents in my office, and I retain all associated computer files. And by the way, Representative Posey made this statement, which I think is a good one. He says, I rise today on matters of scientific integrity and research. He entered this into the congressional record. To begin with, I am absolutely, resolutely pro-vaccine. Advancements in medical immunization have saved countless and greatly benefited public health. That being said, it's troubling to me that in a recent Senate hearing on childhood vaccinations, it was never mentioned that our government has paid out over $3 billion through a vaccine injury compensation program for children who have been injured by vaccinations. And so Bill Posey, the congressman, states that in August 2014, Dr. William Thompson, a senior scientist at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, worked with a whistleblower attorney to provide my office with documents related to a 2004 CDC study that examined the possibility of a relationship between the mumps, measles, rubella vaccine and autism. And Dr. Thompson stated in 2014, I regret that my co-authors and I omitted statistically significant information in our 2004 article published in the journal Pediatrics. That article essentially exonerated vaccines, but it omitted significant data that suggested that there might be a link, at the very least in African-American boys, between early vaccination and a higher risk of autism. He says that they scheduled a meeting to destroy documents related to the study. They brought a big garbage can to the meeting room. They went through all the hard copy documents that we had thought we should discard, but what's interesting is, in this era of cover-ups, this Dr. Thompson, this courageous whistleblower, is kind of the anti-Hillary. He's coming forward, or the anti-Tom Brady. And he's saying, yeah, you know, we destroyed the documents, but I kept copies. And now I want to share them with the world, because he's a guy who's a scientist with integrity, and he's got a conscience, and he wants the world to know that a cover-up has taken place. How many times have you heard this in the mainstream press? This is only something that courageous journalists like Cheryl Atkinson will report on, and we'll share it with you here on Intelligent Medicine. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Cedarside.com has been a leader in the organics movement, creating natural do-it-yourself solutions to insect issues for nearly 20 years. We've only begun to understand the harmful side effects of synthetic chemicals and chemical insect sprays, but the findings are significant. Do-it-yourself natural solutions deserve our consideration. Cedarside Original uses the natural power of cedar oil to kill and repel insects while remaining non-toxic for your family, pets, and the environment. This 100% organic insect spray from Cedarside.com is lab and real-world tested to kill bed bugs, mosquitoes, fleas, ticks, mites, scorpions, roaches, and more. Go to cedarside.com/Hoffman and use coupon code Hoffman at checkout for free shipping, or call 844-780-6727 and mention my name, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Replace all your personal and indoor chemical insect sprays with a single bottle of Cedarside Original. Go online to cedarside.com/Hoffman or call now 844-780-6727. Cedarside Original for people, pets, and premises. Say no to harmful synthetic chemicals today. Use cedarside.com for a chemical-free world.
If you're like me, balancing my blood sugar is important to me for my health and wellness, especially as I get older. I pay attention to what I eat and try to exercise daily, but even that might not be enough. So each day I take Kyolic Blood Sugar Balance in conjunction with a healthy diet, regular exercise, and plenty of rest. Kyolic Blood Sugar Balance is my trusted ally for healthy weight management, overall cardiovascular health, and immune function. Kyolic Blood Sugar Balance is a synergistic combination of odorless kyolic aged garlic extract and herbs and nutrients shown to help maintain blood sugar levels. And it's made by our friends at Kyolic, the number one best-selling odorless garlic supplement on the market for over 40 years. So join the Kyolic team. I did.
Kyolic Blood Sugar Balance is available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores everywhere.
drhoffman.com, your portal for cutting-edge information on health and nutrition.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you on this beautiful weekend. And you can call us 888-302-3684 and avail yourself of my medical expertise, as Christina is about to do. Christina's calling us from Jessup, Georgia. How are you, Christina? Hello, Christina. Are you there?
Yes. I just had a question about boils. Like, I've tried different solutions like manuka oil, tea tree oil, Epsom salt, different things, try to cut back the sugar, eat smoothies with greens and all that.
You're on the right track. You're on the right track, absolutely.
I mean, I can get relief once I get a boil, but, like, they keep coming back. Like, every week or two, they come back. And I'm like, what am I doing wrong? I've even done a colon cleanse.
Oh, wow. Okay, so, well, you actually hit on some of the strategies that I think are helpful. You know, typically, boils will respond to hot compresses. Particularly, Epsom salts seem to draw out some of the pus that's in the boils. Also, tea tree oil is a natural antibiotic. Manuka oil has natural antibiotic properties. You can also apply topical silver. Colloidal silver used to be used in the past for treating wounds, and its use is actually being revived as a way of treating infections, because antibiotics are no longer effective for certain things. And then, of course, you're right about sugar, sugar being a culprit, because to the extent that you take in a lot of sugar, you raise your blood sugar, and bacteria just love sugar. You know, like flies are drawn to sugar. Well, bacteria are drawn to sugar as well, so you want to keep your blood sugar stable. You know, you may need some evaluation of your immune system, because you're not obviously fighting things off properly. Taking a variety of nutrients that support immunity, vitamin C, selenium, zinc, Even vitamin D is important. Do you take some of these nutrients? You sound like a kind of a health aficionado, so you're probably taking a few of those things, right?
Yeah, I take D and C, yeah.
So you're on the right track. Hopefully, you know, check your vitamin D levels, because sometimes it takes more than just a, you know, multivitamin or, you know, 400 international units of vitamin D to reestablish optimal levels. Another thing you could do is you could take, you know, I have had success with some of my patients who have chronic boils. I give them high-dose oregano. Oregano is a wonderful natural antibiotic, and the product that I use is something called oregacillin. And it's intentionally made to sound like it's an antibiotic, because it's a natural antibiotic.
Okay.
And, you know, you may get a little bit of pizza breath from taking high doses of that. Smell, you know, get kind of oregano, kind of exude an oregano aroma. But it actually does get into the bloodstream and may actually have a good effect. Have you been to a dermatologist about this? You know, is there someone to check this out and make sure that you're okay?
I just kind of self-treat at home. It kind of runs in my family, too, because my dad has the same issue. So
indeed. There is such a thing as a susceptibility that may run in families to, like, it doesn't mean your whole immune system is collapsing. It just may mean that there's a chink in your immunological armor that allows you to colonize staph on your skin. It's probably caused by staph bacteria. And that's sometimes hard to eradicate, even with antibiotics. The staph is becoming increasingly resistant. That's why we have something called MRSA, or methicillin-resistant staph aureus. It doesn't respond to standard antibiotics anymore.
Okay.
But this is, you know, I think, you know, but try the oregacillin. Try even high-dose garlic with allicin. That's actually something that can help as well.
Okay.
Probiotics, you know, you mentioned taking a colon cleanse. Well, you're right. You know, your intestinal status may govern to some extent whether you're likely to have infections. All right, let me share this with you. Dad bod, you know, this is kind of a new vocabulary item, is that we're noticing that young guys, you know, often they're in the 20s and the 30s, and once they become dads, they kind of go to pot. And part of it is they have less time, and they have sleep deprivation, and then all the food that the little toddlers eat, you know, you want a cookie? Look, Dad's going to have the cookie. Here, you have the cookie. Okay, well, you know, that's not the best fare for staying buff-looking. But there's actually a physiological basis for the dad bod, according to a new study. Expectant fathers experience prenatal hormone changes. Impending fatherhood can lower two important hormones, testosterone and estradiol for men. Now, the testosterone, there's a reason that the testosterone goes down when you become a dad, is that what's the purpose in nature of having a very high testosterone male in a nuclear family who's looking for other mates? That doesn't really work in terms of evolution. So testosterone actually lowers when men become dads, and that may change their body composition, make it less likely that they have muscle definition. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, 888-302-3684 for Intelligent Medicine.
Got glutathione? Probably not as much as you once had. As we age, our glutathione levels drop dramatically, and that is a very big deal. Why? Because glutathione is your body's master antioxidant. It is unique in its ability to repair and rebuild cellular damage caused by free radicals, exposure to environmental toxins, and the aging process. The less glutathione in your body, the more vulnerable you are to health issues. Backed by 20 years of published research, RegActive contains ME3, a patented probiotic proven to naturally stimulate the body's own production of glutathione. RegActive is brought to you by Essential Formulas, renowned for introducing award-winning Dr. O'Hara's probiotics 15 years ago, and meets the criteria of the same high standards and trusted time-proven results. Revolutionary. Remarkable. RegActive. Look for RegActive at Vitamin Shop, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide where Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are sold.
If you could be more heart healthy just by drinking a glass of earthy vegetable juice daily, would you do it? Probably not. But what if this performance-enhancing veggie was transformed into a great-tasting circulation superfood drink? It's called Superbeets, and I can help you try it risk-free. Superbeets is loaded with vegetable dietary nitrates that boost nitric oxide levels in your body, and this equals an increase in energy and stamina without stimulants. Dietary nitrates are incredible for supporting healthy blood pressure, too. I drink Superbeets in the morning for energy, at the gym for extra long workouts, or in the afternoon as a pick-me-up without the jittery side effects. Call 1-800-664-5617 or go to danashootsbeets.com. Get a 30-day supply free. It comes with your first order, and it's backed by a money-back guarantee. You also get the free book, Beat the Odds, and free shipping on your entire order. You'll love the results that you feel with your first free canister, guaranteed or your money back. That's 1-800-664-5617, danashootsbeets.com.
Subscribe to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast, updated several times weekly. Go to drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine, 888-302-3684, and we got calls. Jill from Middletown, New York, how you doing?
Hello, Dr. Hoffman.
Hi there.
I was wondering if it's true that if you have diverticulosis, you should avoid nuts, seeds, and berries.
Okay, it's curious that you ask that. I'm going to pose that the question right back to you. Why are you asking that question?
Well, because my gastroenterologist told me I wasn't tested, but she said because of my age, I probably have diverticulosis, and therefore I should avoid these things because
let me tell you that your gastroenterologist ain't reading the literature, and that's one of the things that I really. Gets me upset is that when doctors don't keep up with the scientific literature. So this is actually kind of an old saw about how you need to avoid nuts, seeds, and berries. And, we thought this for a long time. It kind of made sense because a diverticulum is a little outpocketing in your intestine. And it stands to reason that if a little seed or a little fragment of a nut gets caught in there, it can become a nidus or a little focus for, as unpleasant as it sounds, rotting material, bacteria proliferate there, and then you can get an infection. It's like a splinter or something, it's stuck in that little blind loop of your intestine. So it kind of makes sense that could be a problem. But it turns out that studies now show that is an old saw. It's not true. And particularly a gastroenterologist should be aware of the fact that they have not established that there is a correlation between consumption of those foods, nuts, seeds, and berries, and diverticulosis becoming the infectious form of this, diverticulitis, where it's all inflamed and you need to take antibiotics or sometimes you need to get pieces of your colon snipped out. So it ain't so. It ain't so that's the case. In fact, the most effective diet that I have found for my patients with diverticulitis, frequent bouts of diverticulitis, because a lot of people have diverticulitis, maybe 30-40% of the population has some degree of diverticulosis, especially as you get older. And that's the result of a Western diet and chronic constipation. You get these little outpocketings in your intestinal tract, weak spots. They're actually tiny hernias where the tissue breaks through and you get a little, like a little sac within the wall of your intestine, your large intestine. The most effective diet that I've found for our patients with that, and we actually have patients who've had chronic episodes of diverticulitis. They had to take antibiotics frequently. They got sick. They got feverish. They were in pain. They had diarrhea. They had, bleeding, and sometimes they were told that they needed surgery. They went on this diet, and then, they're fine as long as they stay on the diet. When they go off the diet, they can get attacks. The diet is the specific carbohydrate diet, or the SCD. We talk about it in a book called Breaking the Vicious Cycle, for which I wrote the introduction many years ago, maybe 20 years ago. And it's a very effective diet for ulcerative colitis and Crohn's disease as well. Many of our patients with inflammatory bowel disease are doing great with that. In fact, there was a recent new study that shows that it does work for patients with IBD. But the best-kept secret, or the little-known fact about this, is that it is also helpful for diverticulitis. And if you follow the diet, which is rigorous, you won't get attacks. And so what does the diet consist of? Well, it's not a nut-free or seed-free or berry-free diet. It's a grain-free diet. It excludes specific carbohydrates that have the potential to ferment in the gastrointestinal tract and lead to mischief because the bad bacteria proliferate, and that can cause infections. So you starve those bacteria by depriving your body of certain specific carbohydrates, starches in particular, and you do better. So get a hold of the book, Breaking the Vicious Cycle.
I think I have your book. I read it many years ago. Yes, I'll look it up. Thank
you
very much.
Follow the diet. And, hey, if you need a little extra help, you know, sometimes patients, need certain additional nutrients, probiotics, natural antibacterial formulas to kind of clean the gastrointestinal tract and restore balance. But, you know, give it a shot. I think it'll work for you. Thanks for your call. I appreciate it. All right. Let's talk the dangers of vaping. You know, vaping is becoming increasingly popular among young kids. In the last year, e-cigarette use by U.S. teenagers tripled from 4.5% to 13.4% among high school students. It went from 1% to 4% among middle schoolers. These are really young kids. A 2014 survey of U.S. teens found that almost 9% of eighth graders had vaped in the 30 days before they were questioned. Among 10th graders, it was 16%. Teens don't see e-cigarettes as dangerous. They see them as a legal way to smoke. But they think that they're perfectly safe, no problem, and they're also less expensive than cigarettes because the taxes are not applied to them. So this is a worry for physicians and toxicologists, because it turns out that the chemicals in e-cigarettes can damage lung tissue and reduce the lung's ability to keep germs and other harmful substances from entering the body. Why? Well, e-cigarettes release nicotine. Nicotine itself, when inhaled into the lungs, can damage the lungs. But also, there are other substances. There are flavorings, and there's a vehicle that helps to propel the nicotine deep into the lungs. And when this is superheated, it releases free radicals. And these free radicals can damage lung tissue and weaken defense. A new study shows that vaping can make it harder for the body to kill germs, particularly in the lungs, the throat, the respiratory tract. Also, it ain't great for teenagers and adolescents to be exposed to nicotine at such a young age, because they get hooked. They're particularly vulnerable to nicotine addiction before the age of 25. And once, you know, you start, it's very hard to stop. And so this can become a gateway drug to other more dangerous tobacco products. And we don't know that much about the long-term consequences of vaping. It may be, we don't know yet, that individuals who vape for, say, 10, 20, 30, 40 years, that they will indeed have a higher risk of cardiovascular disease or lung cancer. We simply don't know, because we're conducting a vast experiment, and our kids are the guinea pigs. So, we've got to take a look at this. We need regulation. I'm sorry to say hate regulation, because I really believe in freedom of choice, but these kids do not have the critical faculties to evaluate risk. And the e-cigarettes are widely available. They're a popular craze among kids. So if your kids or grandkids are engaging in this, you got it, really. You got to tell them it ain't good. Chemicals like pyrazines are added to these e-cigarettes, and they're highly irritating and dangerous. So rethink this craze. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, 888-302-3684 for the weekend edition of Intelligent Medicine.
Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Cedarside.com has been a leader in the organics movement, creating natural, do-it-yourself solutions to insect issues for nearly 20 years. We've only begun to understand the harmful side effects of synthetic chemicals and chemical insect sprays, but the findings are significant. Do-it-yourself natural solutions deserve our consideration. Cedarside Original uses the natural power of cedar oil to kill and repel insects while remaining non-toxic for your family, pets, and the environment. This 100% organic insect spray from Cedarside.com is lab and real-world tested to kill bed bugs, mosquitoes, fleas, ticks, mites, scorpions, roaches, and more. Go to cedarside.com/Hoffman and use coupon code Hoffman at checkout for free shipping or call 844-780-6727 and mention my name, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Replace all your personal and indoor chemical insect sprays with a single bottle of Cedarside Original. Go online to cedarside.com/Hoffman or call now 844-780-6727. Cedarside Original for people, pets, and premises. Say no to harmful synthetic chemicals today. Use cedarside.com for a chemical-free world.
For more intelligent medicine, download our free podcast at drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you. And in just a moment, we'll tell you about a call by a major English medical journal for a new and independent review of the potential harms of statin drugs. But first, let's talk to John. He's calling us from Union, New Jersey. How are you doing, John?
Hi. Hi. Sick sinus syndrome, and I'll be having a physical this week. What kind of blood test do I need? What supplements should I take? What physical test should they do?
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, you know, a lot of people can say, well, yeah, John sounds a little congested, so he's got a sick sinus. But no, we're not talking about your nasal congestion. There's a sinus located in the heart, which is the location of the body's innate pacemaker. You know, we put in electronic pacemakers. The body has its own built-in pacemaker in what's called the sinus of the heart. And when you have a sick sinus, well, two things happen. Your heart races, but it simultaneously slows down. And this is often a precursor to requiring a pacemaker. So the answer is there's probably not a lot of supplements to take or not to take when you're getting these tests. And I'm not going to tell you what tests to take, but sometimes they'll do what's called an electrophysiologic test. Is that what they're thinking of doing? Is they're considering studying you in the electrophysiology lab to see if you react to certain medications or if you react to a shock or something like that?
No, they wanted me to take Xarelto, and then they wanted me to take baby aspirin, and I'm not really very compliant with that. Because
There's a reason for that, because when you have a sick sinus syndrome and the heart speeds up and it slows down, it creates a certain turbulence of the blood. And under normal circumstances, the blood doesn't clot in the heart. But when there's a speed up and slow down of the heart rhythm, there's a tendency for blood clots to form. And a blood clot can form, and then it can be shot up your carotid artery into your brain and cause a stroke. And that's the reason that they want to do the anticoagulation. So aspirin is one way of doing it, and Xarelto is a stronger way of doing it. Mm. Xarelto is a new drug that has superseded Coumadin because of, you know, the potential dangers of Coumadin in terms of bleeding. But, you know, Xarelto also has some side effects. So, so the answer, I'm not going to tell you one thing or another today, because I think you really need to do the study and find out. You know, ultimately, there are millions of Americans who have long and productive lives and remain safe with a pacemaker in, number one, and number two, taking anticoagulant medications. So, you know, you may have crossed the threshold where, you know, your heart was designed for, you know, they say, 4 score and 10, or something like that, or 3 score and 10, hath the life. That's something from the Bible. And you may have just crossed that threshold where your heart is not, regulating itself in terms of its rhythm. Things that help, fish oil can help that, normalize that. Magnesium can sometimes be helpful. But, you know, I find that these nutrients don't always overcome sick sinus syndrome. Once you get to that point, you actually may be a candidate for a pacemaker and for anticoagulant medication.
Mm.
All right?
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Yeah, you know, sometimes I'm called upon to be the tell me it ain't so doc, but sometimes I got to tell people that indeed they need to go through the proper testing and procedures. All right, British Medical Journal is a very well-respected journal. With worldwide impact, not just in the United Kingdom, has called for a new and independent study of statin drugs. In England, 12 million are routinely given the drug. So you can imagine that's in England, far smaller population than the United States. Critics of this dosing, by the way, the new guidelines suggest that doctors prescribe statins for anyone with a 10% risk of heart disease within a decade. And that makes a lot more people eligible for statins these days, even if you don't have a high cholesterol. They say, well, you know, you've got a family history, you're overweight, you're, you know, diabetic, whatever. So they want to put a lot more people preventively on statins. But critics say much of the trial data has never been made public. They've deep-sixed or concealed some of the data that shows that there are a lot of side effects. They tend to emphasize the benefits and downplay the harms. So they say the British Medical Journal is saying that more work is needed to ensure that routine prescribing, when they put tens of millions of people on these drugs, that it's not doing harm. The editor of the British Medical Journal, in an unprecedented statement, said this week, the information on side effects has been seen only by the drug companies and the people who did the trials. We are asking for independent eyes to look at all the data on statins because this is such a widely used drug. And for many people with a low risk of heart disease, these drugs may be causing more harm than benefit. This analysis has to be completely independent. Why the emphasis on independent analysis? Well, a lot of the studies that show benefits of statins are either done by the drug companies or they're done by doctors who receive grants from the pharmaceutical industry. So they have a dog in the fight to demonstrate the efficacy and benefits of statins and downplay the harms. Kim McPherson, a professor of public health at Oxford University, he himself suffered severe pains while taking statins. He issued a public statement, we do not have properly measured trials, and these are not available for public scrutiny. This is, I think, a very important call to action because we want to indiscriminately apply statins to a large segment of our population, and we're not looking at the potential downsides, which range from muscle pain, muscle breakdown, to acute kidney failure, increased risk of cancer, cataracts, diabetes, cognitive impairment, musculoskeletal disorders may more than offset the modest cardiovascular benefits of statin treatment in certain individuals. Now, let me just go on record saying I do prescribe statins, but very, very sparingly. And many patients come to me for a second opinion about whether they need to be on statins, and we provide them with natural alternatives unless they really, really need them. And as often as not, they don't. All right, let's talk to Martine in New Jersey about a high C-reactive protein.
Hello.
That's your question, right? How are you doing?
Yes. Hi, doctor. Thank you. Thank you for educating us. Appreciate your shows.
Sure.
My question will be, I have a 6.9 CRP.
Right.
Yes. And that's high.
Well, you don't need CPR yet, but you have a high CRP. Okay, that's so good. Can you get confused about these initials? It could be dangerous. All right, so what is the C-reactive protein? Well, C-reactive protein is a marker of inflammation. And I think you're talking about something called the HSCRP, or the highly sensitive CRP, which is a test that is more directed towards cardiovascular risk. The test can sometimes be distorted by other inflammatory conditions like an infection or rheumatoid arthritis or, you know, other kinds of inflammatory problems in the body. But it's supposed to be more highly sensitive and specific for cardiovascular risk. And the optimal level of that is under 2, and even better if it's under 1 or under 0.5. Because it turns out that a big part of cardiovascular risk is not high cholesterol, but inflammation. And in fact, that's one of the reasons why statins actually help, because while they lower cholesterol, they also have a side benefit of acting as powerful anti-inflammatories, kind of like expensive super aspirins. But there are other side effects associated with that. So, you know, what do you do to lower your C-reactive protein? Well, I actually have written some articles on this. You can find them at drhoffman.com. Just plug in C-reactive protein into our search box at drhoffman.com, and you'll find the articles. But among the things that you can do, you can take fish oil. You can, you know, simply losing weight will or getting to normal weight. I mean, if you're normal weight, then you shouldn't lose more weight. Going on a lower carbohydrate diet will often help to lower C-reactive protein. Getting off foods that you're sensitive to. You might be sensitive to gluten or to dairy, for example. I'm just saying this possibility. This can help your C-reactive protein. Magnesium has been shown to help C-reactive protein. Anti-inflammatory nutrients like curcumin can be helpful for lowering C-reactive protein. There's a nice supplement that is called Mega 10. It's a combination of omega-3 and omega-7 that we use at the Hoffman Center for patients who have high C-reactive protein. It actually helps to lower it. It turns out that omega-7, not that well recognized as of cardiovascular benefit, but omega-7 combined with omega-3 in a product called Mega-10 is helpful for elevated C-reactive protein. So those are among the things you could use. Higher doses of vitamin E, of course, may be helpful for lowering C-reactive protein. Exercise actually helps you lower C-reactive protein, but not, running a marathon or doing an Ironman competition, which can actually cause muscle breakdown and inflammation in the joints and in the tissues. These are some of the things that can make a difference when it comes to C-reactive protein, so we can get it down naturally. This is actually a target of for many of my patients at the Hoffman Center. We want to optimize not just their cholesterol, but their C-reactive protein and other cardiovascular risk factors like their insulin and so on. All right, great hour, great questions coming up in our next hour. We're going to look at some important subjects. We're going to tackle the issue of, do cell phones pose a higher risk of cancer? There's some new studies on that. Also, Congress is about to approve the DARK Act. That is designed to keep you in the dark about GMOs. Find out what you can do about it. We've got to get on our action alert to push back against a congressional effort to keep us in the dark about GMOs. This is Intelligent Medicine.